order, and Katie, are you guys going to do roll call, or do you want me to do that?
Whoops.
Roll call.
Yeah, we have Tricia Stowe from CVAG. We'll do the roll call as a clerk. Tricia?
Cathedral City. Coachella.
Present.
Indian Wells. Indio. La Quinta.
Here.
Oh, they're sharing. Great.
Palm Desert.
Present.
Palm Springs.
Here.
Rancho Mirage.
Present.
County of Riverside. And Agua Caliente.
Here.
We have a quorum.
All right. Looks like we're on to item number three, public comments. Do we have any comments from anybody from the public that's talking about something that's not on the agenda?
We did not have any public comments submitted beforehand.
Okay. Hearing no other comments, move on to item four, subcommittee member and CVAG staff comments. Do we have any subcommittee member comments or staff comments? Okay, moving on, go ahead. Item five, the consent calendar. We have minutes from two meetings, the June 18th and the May 19th, June 18th, 2019 and May 19th, 2020. Do we have a motion to approve the consent calendar?
Move to approve.
I'll second.
Okay, moved in second. All those in favor, do we need to do roll call, Katie, or is a hand fine?
No, just an eye is fine.
All right. Yeah. All right. All those in favor indicate by hands up or aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Minutes are approved. We're on to item number six, A, the election of the technical planning subcommittee officers. And please, do we have a willing chair?
Ryan, don't you want to do it again?
Any motions for a chair for TPS?
Who's currently the vice chair? Do we know?
Actually, Danny Castro from La Quinta is our vice chair.
Sherry, how are you feeling about nominating your boss?
I would nominate him, but he's not here, so.
All the better.
That's how it's happened before.
Yeah, right? That's your curse of not showing up to a meeting.
He's got short-term rentals to tackle with right now.
Yeah, don't we all?
That's true, yeah.
You know, I'd hate to say that we meet enough for me to really protest, but at the same time, I think Katie, with new leadership of the committee, may be looking for some new energy. Is there anybody who wanted to take on the role, wants to have more experience with the role?
Louie, do you want to do it?
I wouldn't mind doing it.
Okay.
So I nominate Louie Lopez as chair.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second for Louie Lopez for chair. All those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion's unanimous. Thanks, Louie. And now we have a motion for vice chair. And as I mentioned, Danny's the current vice chair.
Margaret, do you want to be vice chair?
Not really, but I will do it. Yeah, I can do it. I have been sitting here quiet for months, so yeah, that's fine with me. Yeah. I'll be vice chair.
I nominate Margaret Park as vice chair.
I'll second.
Second was by, thanks, Ryan. Okay, motion and a second for Margaret Park as vice chair of Technical Planning Subcommittee. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Oh, it's unanimous. Woohoo. Congratulations, all of you guys. You're so excited.
Best meeting ever.
Thanks.
Okay, good. That takes care of item 6A, Mr. Former, esteemed former chair.
All right. Do I continue with this one, or do you want Louis to take it?
Louis, you want to go for it?
Sure, I'll continue. Next item on the agenda is the SCAG Regional Early Action Planning Funding Availability Subregional Partnerships. I think there's a staff presentation.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Yes, and before the staff presentation, I just want to briefly say we have this item on the agenda. Libby's going to give a brief overview and a proposal as described in your staff report, but we really wanted to have this item on the agenda to facilitate some discussion and ideas and suggestions from you. So with that, Libby, you want to go ahead? And I guess we need a screen share.
No screen share. The Regional Early Action Planning Program, or REAP, is one of two state-funded one-time grants to address the housing crisis. Through REAP, SCAG received $47 million. $23 million of which was set aside for sub-regional partnerships. As a sub-regional partner, CVAG is eligible to receive approximately $558,000. REAP is intended to augment or complement city and county projects funded through the SB2 and LEAP programs. An inventory of those projects were attached to the staff report. REAP funds may be used on one or more projects that will make it easier to increase housing supply or related infrastructure. Eligible activities include technical assistance, policy analysis and development, planning, data collection and analysis, and other ways to make regions and cities more competitive for funding. REAP funds may not be used for capital or ongoing operations, and all projects must be completed by June 30th, 2023. Sub-regional partners were asked to submit a one-page intent to apply by the end of September, with full applications due by December 1st. And according to SCAG, projects included in the intent to apply may be completely changed with the full application. In the interest of not duplicating work underway, CVAG worked with SCAG to identify eligible options, including those that would make a connection between housing and homelessness. As a result, a broad placeholder was submitted for the intent to apply that proposed building on the 2018 report on homelessness response in Coachella Valley, including establishing a regional collaborative. And Greg Rodriguez is here. He can answer any questions about that direction if you have them. However, we know that our region has many needs when it comes to planning and developing affordable housing. So we're here to get your thoughts.
Thank you, Libby. I'll open it up for any committee member discussions at this time or questions.
So, Libby, correct me if I'm wrong, it can't be used for capital, but it can be used for planning, transportation planning, some of those kinds of high-level regional projects?
Correct.
Okay. I had run the REAP through both the planning division and our housing division to kind of just brainstorm. And the one idea that came up that seemed to grab everybody's attention was possibly engaging Sunline and talking about the major destinations for the population, where they're going for services, and trying to see if there's some way to get Sunline to maybe help with some of the challenges that the Valley presents to the, you know, areas where housing is rich and then where the services, you know, there's a huge disconnect there. So grabbing Sunline was one that really got everybody's energy going in my shop.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that idea as well. One of the questions I have, and I see that Taylor is here from Lift to Rise. We had talked in the past about doing some type of regional approach to housing entitlements and having you know, common standards, if you will, for housing. Has that gone any further? Have we looked at that at all?
And I think Taylor's on the call. I think, can she unmute herself or just?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi, good morning. Thanks. For those who don't know, I'll just briefly introduce myself. My name is Taylor Leibold-Varner, and I'm the Regional Affordable Housing Planner for Lift to Rise. And I'll give a little bit of background to what Flynn is discussing. But as many of you know, because you or your staff has been part of it, we have a group of local partners, including local staff and elected officials, private entities, and institutional leaders in our Housing Stability Collaborative Action Network. And we have been working for 2 to 3 years to address the housing crisis in the Coachella Valley and the underlying causes of housing instability. And my role actually emerged out of this collaboration. It's in a partnership with the county and Lift to Rise. But I exist to kind of coordinate regional housing activities. And I've actually been out for the last few months, but I'm back now. And we have, goals to increase coordination. Many of you participated in our SB2 and LEAP workshops that we've hosted in the last year to help coordinate. But together with these partners, we've built and continue to sustain a regional pipeline of affordable housing projects. And this is development opportunities, including site inventory. And this has really allowed us to draw down significant investment. We are going to launch a housing fund in January. And we're also identifying opportunities, like Flynn mentioned, for policy interventions and ways that we can increase coordination. Our pipeline currently has 2,000 units identified of affordable housing that we're targeting to move forward. And these include permanent supportive housing units as well. For example, the Ivy Palm Hotel conversion in Palm Springs is one of these projects with homeless services that we think will receive early funding and will provide workforce development opportunities and other services. I'm here because we're really excited about this opportunity. We think it could be a really good opportunity to collaborate together. There's a lot of tangible ways that we could use this to move units forward. One of them being hosting of this online, of this pipeline of projects online, allow us to identify opportunities together and increase investment. Again, anything we can do to further coordinate along entitlements, ADUs, really there's so many options. But the online hosting of our pipeline is one that immediately came to our minds. And I think Arcelli is on the call too. She might have some things to add, but I hope that gets kind of at your question. It was a long answer, I know.
We appreciate that. That might be a possibility for us because it does address regional coordination on housing and work towards that goal. So in addition to the thought about Sunline, that may be another opportunity for us. So my two cents.
I had a question as well. Libby, does the program require the study to focus on homeless residents, or can it be any affordable housing effort?
It could be any. There's no requirement for homelessness.
Okay. I had tossed around an idea with our grants manager previously, and we had a discussion with Greg and the homeless task force, I believe. But it wasn't brought up at the time. It's a little bold, but I live in Beaumont over here in the Pass area, and there is a small home project at the entrance to the city of Banning. When you exit off the 10 freeway on Ramsey on the right-hand side, it's a very small community of small, like tiny home for the homeless. And it was put together by a nonprofit, and they're this national faith-based nonprofit, and they might have gotten some other grant monies, but I don't know if the Coachella Valley has ever considered something like that. You know, because of our climate, a tiny home might be a good option, especially during the summer months. And I don't know if a study to consider, you know, finding a location or looking into that would be something to consider on a regional basis. When we had that big homeless camp off of the 86, there were some proponents out there that were talking about building tiny homes, and they actually brought materials and started going to town before code enforcement got out there. And it was on Caltrans property, and they abated that big camp, if you recall. So that was one idea that I had talked to our grants manager about, is the tiny home concept for the homeless. And I don't know if this funding opportunity might be a way to do a feasibility study for that, or actually test it and buy some. Just an idea I'm tossing out.
If I can address some of that, Luis, is there have actually been quite a number of test cases and studies on tiny home communities, primarily Oregon, a couple in Washington. As you know, we've had a local organization propose it many times here. Getting the money to, and this wouldn't qualify to actually build it. I get it could be done for the feasibility study. If you look at these tiny home programs, more of them are enablers than they are assisting people in getting into permanent housing. Additionally, while some organizations have been able to have the startup cost to operate these, the ongoing costs are extremely expensive. So for instance, like a 40 unit one in Oregon had a $1.8 million operating budget a year. And that was just their operating budget. That wasn't facility maintenance and all that. So most, I would say 95% of homeless experts and housing experts do not believe this is the right method to go. Now, with that being said, should we look at, you know, whether it was through Lift a Rise or other housing components through cities on developing small home, tiny home subdivisions, that could be something to be looked at. But I just wanted to give some background on that. I think utilizing the money to study whether or not it would be an effective program, there's plenty of studies out there that show that it's not the right way to go, that really more the housing first model or the permanent supportive housing like we're doing at the Ivy Palm are really the models that are more advantageous.
Mm. Okay.
Flynn, your idea is also fairly intriguing though, about having like a standardized pool of documents, whether it's a ADU pre-approved, that maybe the study can help with getting every building official in the valley or every jurisdiction on board with approving a standard set of drawings, or a small single family home, or, you know, God forbid, a couple duplexes that could be replicated. But that would be nice to have the ability to have pre-approved drawings and plans for some of those things for infill sites.
Yeah, that might be another opportunity. Yeah. That we could pursue.
Yeah.
So, Libby, what do you need from us today?
Just your input, your ideas, and we will take them and work with SCAG to see, to kind of mold them into an application.
Okay. Do you need anything additional from us? We've thrown out a few ideas here.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Should we do maybe a straw vote on the standardized plans? Because I'd like that one too.
Yeah,
I would like to investigate that as a possibility. Certainly not the bulk of the funds to be used for that, but a portion of the funds could be.
Yeah. That'd be extremely useful.
I think they're all really great ideas. I think there are things that, especially the Sunline and the Lift to Rise, you know, kind of trying to find out and help kind of support this pipeline that they're trying to put together. I think those are all, those are great as well. And I do like the standard plans as well. Yeah.
Okay. So I think we're all general in agreement with those ideas.
Mr. Chair, Araceli Palafox from Lift to Rise, would she has a hand raised, if we could go ahead and hit her.
Okay, I apologize. I can't see her on my screen, but if we can let her speak.
Araceli, right. Do you want to put your camera on?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, if you want to put your camera on, it'd be good too.
Sure.
Your video.
Okay, great. Hi, everyone.
Thanks.
Good to see your faces. For those who I haven't met, my name is Araceli, and I'm the Deputy Director at Lift to Rise. I didn't know when was the best time to chime in, but Taylor and I joined you just to, one, listen into what the group is considering, and two, kind of share our thoughts for how we see this as a really great opportunity to align. As Taylor mentioned, we have built a regional cross-sector partnership to respond to the critical need for affordable housing in the region. And like many places in California, we're facing an affordability crisis. And our local housing strategy really recognizes that affordable housing is a solution to homelessness. And so I'm happy to kind of take this conversation offline with folks who have questions, but really our plan identifies some of the priorities that Libby, you've cited, and Flynn, you've offered in terms of really coordinating planning activities for the region. We know that locally, we need a better and more enabling environment for affordable housing, and we know that more housing will help address the issue of homelessness. And so as you consider the use of REAP funding, we're really just here to encourage you to leverage some of the established regional efforts and align any planning activities. And as Taylor mentioned, her role came out of identified need that a lot of your staff said, we need more regional coordination. And so Taylor's here as a resource, we're here as a resource, and so happy to explore this with you. We're just super excited about the opportunity to align and coordinate. Thanks for letting me weigh in.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, so I think we have direction for Libby on this item. Any other speakers or comments? Okay.
We don't see any other raised hands, so it looks like we're good.
Thank you. So we'll move on to the next item on the agenda. It is an update on Civic Spark partnership with CVAG. Katie?
Thank you, Louis. Before I do that, I wanted to just leave a quick reminder from Mayan Johnson at SCAG. She asked me to remind you all, you're probably aware of this, the last state to file an appeal on the draft RENA allocation is October 26th at 5:00. So that's just a quick announcement. On Civic Spark, I wanted to let you all know this year CVAG is working with Civic Spark, which is a program of the Local Government Commission and AmeriCorps, which puts young people into local governments to provide capacity and work on projects. And many of those projects have a focus on climate action and other issues. We actually have a Civic Spark fellow that's working with us, Tori Brewster, who's a recent graduate of the University of Redlands. And I wanted you just to be aware, because Tori may be reaching out to you. She's working with us actually for the next about 11 months and on several projects that things that it focuses on opportunities to build capacity and really outreach and coordinate with our member agencies. Now, one of the projects actually has to do with our Conservation Commission and working to develop land management tools and a volunteer corps that can help us manage the habitat conservation lands for the multiple species plan. But more related to TPS, we are taking a look at the status of climate action planning. A lot of you have done or have worked on climate action plans. We've talked in the past here about better ways to kind of track your progress and look at ways that we could kind of keep a scorecard of what's going on in the Coachella Valley and what your needs are with regard to your climate action goals. So Tories will likely be reaching out to you over the course of the next few months to get feedback and input on what's needed. She's also working with us on a project that came out of our Energy and Environment Committee when we started talking about climate resilience, and that would be to take a look at what kinds of things are being done here in the Coachella Valley to address climate adaptation and resilience, and measures that would help us to, unfortunately, we've seen the effects over this last summer of some of the changes that could be in our future with regard to the extreme heat. And we wanted to get that conversation going as well. One of the particular things she's looking at is an urban greening project or a trees initiative that we have talked about with our Energy and Environment Committee. A couple of cities, Louis, your city, of course, has a, has a lead on that, is doing quite a bit on urban greening in Coachella. And we want to pull together some of the best practices and get some ideas and feedback from all of you on basically urban greening efforts, but also what kinds of things might be going on in your agency with regard to climate, both climate action and climate resilience. So at a point, at perhaps one of the next meetings, we'll have Tori join us to introduce herself. But I wanted you just to be aware we may be, she may be reaching out to you to talk. She has already been in touch with other staff in a number of the cities. I know she talked to John Berg a couple of weeks ago. So that's just an update on that.
Thank you, Katie. Yeah, City of Coachella has our climate action plan from 2015, and we really need to see where we are, do a report card on it. And then you're right, the urban greening projects in the city have created some challenges in terms of best practices, especially in an older city like Coachella. Appreciate that. So this is just a receive and file.
I think we're going to have her look at ways we could. Oh, sorry, Louie, I'm sorry. I was going to say, we will have her look at, because many of you did climate action plans in 2013, 14, 15, in that range. And we want to see what ways we can help you to kind of follow up on that, track progress, et cetera. So go ahead, I'm sorry, I didn't want to do. That's all I have.
No, I just said, is this a receive and file item then?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, no action, just an update.
Thank you. All right, moving on. The next item is public comments for items that are not on the agenda, but within our subject matter jurisdiction. Are there any speakers that would like to address the subcommittee?
There are no raised hands and there were no comments submitted beforehand.
Okay, thank you. Next item on the agenda is announcements. Next TPS meeting. Is that November 17th, Katie?
Correct. And Mr. Chair, I just want to remind everyone related to the REAP item that that will be an item on the executive committee, and the suggestions that you've made will be incorporated in that staff report. The executive committee meets on October 19th.
Thank you for that.
That's it.
Okay. Did you say, it says the next meeting is a joint meeting with the Executive and Transportation Committee?
Correct. The CVAG Executive Committee meeting on October 19th, and that is a joint meeting with the Transportation Committee. Erica, do you want to give a quick update for the members on that meeting and the focus of that joint meeting? I don't know if Erica's. I don't know if Erica's able to unmute. Oh. So, yeah, it's a joint meeting with. There you go.
Sorry, okay. Katie. Erica, sorry, we're having a small tech issue. Hi, all. I'm Erica Felci. I think you all know me. Yes, we have a joint meeting on Monday the 19th. It will start at 4:30. It is for our Transportation and Executive Committee. We have a number of big items to deal with, mainly to deal with CV Link, including a construction contract for the remainder of our 2020 construction plans. We have issued an intent to award to Ames Construction, which is our lowest qualified bidder,
We will have a couple of other related contracts for construction on this agenda. We also will have we anticipate a construction manager contract related to the regional signal synchronization program on this, which I think some of you may be familiar with from your colleagues over at TTAS. And so both of those items will be on for the joint. And then there will be an executive committee only agenda, which will deal with some consent items, including the REAP item that Katie mentioned. In order to formally apply in December, we do need a vote of authorization from the executive committee. So our intent would be to get a broad authorization to submit an application and then work with our members and you all to finalize the details of the actual application. So when it goes to exec, it will remain relatively broad.
Okay, thank you for that information. I think now we are ready to adjourn. So I move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Yay.
Enjoy your day, everybody.
Thanks.
See you all later. You too.
Bye.
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 Bye.